This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:42 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And now we're talking about the approval of a motion for a vote of no confidence against Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. That approval was, of course, given by the Dewan Rakyat Speaker. If you missed our conversation earlier with constitutional lawyer Surendra Anand about, well, the constitutionality of it all, you can catch that on our site or our app. And now we're moving on to the political side of things. If you'd like to weigh in, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're joined now on the line by James Chai, Head of Commercial and Research at Invoke Solutions. James, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Lynn. Happy to speak.
So, first of all, and I guess the most basic question, really, where do you see all this headed? What potential options are there for both the government and the opposition?
Once a motion of no confidence is tabled, it ought to be debated. So, let's say if the government doesn't have simple majority, he should, by right, resign or ask the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong to call for an election, to dissolve the parliament and then call for an election. Or the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong could have another round of interviewing or any other method to seek who else has the majority or the confidence of the majority. But that will be highly theoretical under this circumstance, because what will actually happen is that the government has already stated that they will only prioritise certain businesses, which include, let's say, appointing Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim as opposition leader, appointing an opposition member to lead PAC, and so on, as many government businesses as possible to avoid the no-confidence motion. And because they've made it only one day, it's highly unlikely that the no-confidence motion would reach the table in the first place. However, the opposition will take every opportunity that they could speak to make sure that everyone knows that the government is avoiding the no-confidence motion. But, you know, after all, after the much bickering and a lot of arguing in the August House, but in the end, the time would pass quite quickly, and in the end, we wouldn't have the no-confidence motion to see the light of the day even.
So, okay, with that note, then let's just assume that every time we bring it up for the rest of our interview, we're talking about a theoretical vote of no confidence happening on May 18th. Yeah. But something that we can talk about, how strong is the opposition right now?
Okay, so the opposition is relatively united, because after quite some time of 2 years, nearly 2 years of governing, they are finally united with a common enemy again. However, in terms of the numbers, whether they have enough to form a majority, I still don't think they have it. So they still have to scrape the bottom of the barrel to get sufficient numbers to pass 112. And a lot of the MPs that they have to rely on, which are maybe some of the Sabah Sarawak MPs, or let's say past members or some of the UMNO members, they are in quite a good position now, which means that either they are given some of Tan Sri Muhyiddin's appointments in cabinet or in agency or in foreign missions or in GLCs. So it is unlikely that the Pakatan coalition will be able to offer them something better. So in the absence of that, they wouldn't switch over to the Pakatan, Pakatan Harapan coalition. So they are united, but they're not strong enough to form a majority.
And as we've seen, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim has been confirmed as the leader of the opposition, or at least, you know, that's what they've put forth. Mm-hmm. What impact might this have should this theoretical vote of no confidence go through? Because it's still being posited as a Tun M versus, you know, Tan Sri Muhyiddin kind of situation. But where does Anwar Ibrahim factor in?
So it's going to be very odd to hear this, but I think that Dato' Sri Anwar's position now is the best position that he could be in, which is the vote of no confidence will definitely be very polarizing. So now that it's confirmed that it will be pursued by Tun Mahathir, if he does succeed, which means that if he gets it to be debated and to be voted, then Dato' Sri Anwar would very easily latch on to it and form a majority, right? So there's a chance that he may strike a deal and be in government again. But in the event that, let's say, this is pursued endlessly to the point, to the irish of people, to make everyone so frustrated, he could easily stay away from it and wash his hands clean as well. So it looks like quite a strategic position to be in, especially when this is seen largely as an internal struggle between Tan Sri Muhyiddin and Tun Mahathir.
And as you rightly pointed out, it's been a couple of months, a few months since the upheaval of Lanka Sheraton. And in that time, we've seen appointments to cabinet, to GLCs. And to be honest, I mean, throughout this time, the numbers have always existed as an almost mythical thing, right? Like nobody has ever been able to conclusively say one way or the next. We know that there were all these letters, but truthfully, there is no such thing. There was no way for anybody to confirm that. So right now then, do we know in any way who might hold that majority among MPs and what the likelihood of that changing is within the 2 weeks? Or do these numbers remain what they always were?
So what we do know during the period of Lanka Sheraton is that the positions of MPs were extremely fluid, which means that they could be signing a statutory declaration on one hand and actually jumping on another ship, or they could publicly tell the media that they are supporting this one coalition, but in the end, they join the other one. So their positions are not necessarily defined by, let's say, any reform agenda or any principles. It's really who can offer me something more. So it's extremely strategic and fluid in that sense. So we do not know the numbers, but what we do know also is that what Tan Sri Muhyiddin has been doing for the past few weeks has been to appoint people to GLC positions as well as foreign missions and government agencies. Now, this is important for him to make sure that the people who were 50-50 before now are at least confirmed on his side. But to be frank, even if he didn't do that, which means that even if the next 2 weeks he didn't aggressively appoint more MPs onto his side, it's still pretty much secure because a lot of these 50-50 MPs, which are largely from PAS and UMNO, they wouldn't have a better deal with Pakatan Harapan because Pakatan Harapan's coalition probably wouldn't accept them because they are more sensitive towards corruption history or some sort of principles that are not aligned. So in that sense, we do know that Tan Sri Muhyiddin's position is still relatively solid.
And we're going to get into his position, not just as Prime Minister, but also within his own party very shortly. But I did want to read you this message that came in from a listener. So Shamil says, Ish, can't they wait? I agree that Parliament should be seating soon, but shouldn't we discuss more serious matters? I don't know, COVID-19 perhaps. We're in an emergency situation and politicians still want to talk about things like this. Have they ever thought about what would happen to the country if we have another political crisis now? Can't we focus on COVID-19 first and later on, if you still want to talk about who should be PM, then go ahead. There is a time and place for everything. And I read that because I also just wanted to know, how do you think the general public will view this move? Is it going to be in line with, for example, the sentiment that Shamil expressed, or do you think there are going to be lots of differing opinions?
I think it would be largely in line with what Shamil has expressed, because what we are hearing from the public is that a lot of them are quite okay with Tan Sri Muhyiddin in how he handled this crisis and the government at large, like largely the defence minister, as well as maybe to a certain extent our director general of health, right, which has a positive spillover effect on Tan Sri Muhyiddin's government. So that will largely be the sentiment. Now, this is something that's really sad, which is, to be honest, the government in the method of acquiring power is largely illegitimate through the back door. And therefore, it deserves some anger and frustration from us. But it also came at a time whereby we really need to focus on something else, which is the impending public health crisis, as well as the catastrophic economic crisis that will come. And it's already starting to affect a lot of people that are losing their jobs. And when they lose their jobs and when they are worried about where their next meal will come from, they really wouldn't care who's prime minister. And therefore, people are comfortable with a person who wants to stable the ship, which is Tan Sri Muhyiddin, even if the method of acquiring power was illegitimate. That is something that's very sad that we have to accept in this country, but it is also the right way forward. And that's why any instability would only favour how we perceive Tan Sri Muhyiddin, because the incumbent government will always try to hold things together or has the impression of trying to hold things together.
And let's now talk about what each individual party or coalition might want as an outcome. We are going to talk about Bersatu shortly because I think we have to. Let's start with UMNO.
Okay, UMNO and maybe a little bit of MCA and MIC, all of them, they definitely want to stay in power. This deal is much better than what they had to suffer for the past 1.5 years under Pakatan Harapan when they were in the opposition for the first time. However, their defense of the government is not necessarily to the prime minister. They are willing to have some sort of professional distance with Tan Sri Muhyiddin. And that's why they always insist that Perikan Tan National is not formed on anything solid. It's just purely to hold on to power. And therefore, they would defend the government and the need for things to maintain a status quo now.
And then, okay, I think it's pretty clear what the opposition parties might want. But when it comes to someone, a party like Bersatu then, which we've seen, you know, increasingly fractious, increasingly divided, what might happen there?
So there are two parts to Bersatu for sure. So Tan Sri Muhyiddin's Bersatu, which also has some elements of Azmin Ali's cartel gang. So what they want to do the most is to avoid any discussion on the legitimacy of the government or whether the government has a majority or not. So they would try to do the best that they can to avoid it. If it means that they would table the other motions, the government business motions, like includes the supply bill of additional budget and so on, they would just do that and they would try to leave as they can. Because the people in this faction has always engaged in the politics of avoidance. If they can avoid something, they would avoid it until the tide has gone, only then they'll come back, right? The other faction, which is Tun Mahathir's faction, I think he's sensible enough to know that this no-confidence motion couldn't allow the government to fall. What he wants is to strengthen his hand when it comes to the party. There is something about Mahathir that is quite interesting, that he never really gives out on anything. So even if he is in quite a weak position, because he doesn't really have the backing of Pakatan Harapan, who many people are starting to distrust him, at the same time, he's not that strong inside his party, and he doesn't have government resources. But what he wants to do is that he wants to cast a very clear image that Tan Sri Muhyiddin is a weak leader, and he doesn't dare to confront the no-confidence motion, so that it strengthens his position inside the party. I think that is what can be gained from this no-confidence motion, and therefore, and there's something quite sad as well, that the no-confidence motion is largely a political tool to strengthen party positions rather than anything substantial.
And that's happening at a party level, but if we watch it trickle down to the rakyat, then, and how, I suppose, parties and politics and politicians interact, might we see this motion leading to more divided and fractious politics in the public sphere, or is it going to largely remain within parties?
It's going to largely remain within parties, because the truth is that it is already highly fractured in the political landscape now. We've never really seen anything break into so many pieces before. But in terms of how the public understands it, most of them either understand it broadly or they're just tired of the entire the fragments, right? So how they understand it is whether the government who comes into power, which is Tan Sri Muhyiddin, whether he can handle this impending crisis well or not. And most of the time, if he's able to stable this shit, and you know our numbers are looking much better than any other country at the moment, people would start to have confidence in him And only a small portion of society, which are dissipating over time, who are loyal supporters of Pakatan, would still feel very angry about it. But some of them would already start to accept Tan Sri Muhyiddin's way of doing things. And therefore, they will start to accept his government and maybe even have more trust in him if he can do better than the Pakatan Harapan government. That's quite sad, but I think that's likely what would happen.
James, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was James Chai, Head of Commercial and Research at Invoke Solutions, talking to us about the motion of no confidence against the Prime Minister that has been approved by the Dewan Rakyat Speaker. Now, in our conversations both with James as well as Surendra Anand, constitutional lawyer, I think it's quite clear that at this point in time, the likelihood of it actually going through, being debated, being discussed is very low. But nonetheless, it is the logical endpoint and conclusion of what began so many months ago. So we'll have to wait and see what happens on May 18th, and failing which, we'll have to wait and see what happens potentially in July. But if you have any questions or thoughts surrounding this motion of no confidence, then of course you can get in touch. But the other thing you might want to get in touch for is that after the 6 o'clock news, we are going to be talking about mobile applications, but not just any mobile applications. We're going to be talking about the ones that have been released by the government recently to deal with the COVID-19 battle in our country. Specifically, we're going to be looking at MyTrace. So if you have any questions about that application, whether it's about the usability of it, whether you're using it and you have questions, whether it's about privacy, anything at all, do let us know, because joining us on the show is going to be YB Khairi Jamaluddin, who's the Minister of Science, Technology and Innovation, to answer your questions. You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. That is going to be coming your way after the 6 o'clock news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.